Good morning. Today's reading, our scripture reading, comes from 1 Corinthians chapters 12, verse 4 through 13, and chapter 13, verse 13. The introduction of the reading is, Paul started the church of Corinth. In the 1 and 2 Corinthians, he gives them the guidance about their faith. In this passage, he affirms that we are all part of the body of Christ, but we have different gifts to share in the church. At the end of 1 Corinthians, Paul states that love is the most important part of all of our lives. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is the given through the Spirit of the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, by faith of the same Spirit. To another, of gifts by the faiths of the same Spirit. To another, by the gifts of the healing by that same Spirit. To another, the miraculous powers. To another, the prophecy. To another, the distinguishing between spirits. To another, the speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these works of one and the same Spirit, he gives them to each other just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and all of its parts are many. They form one body, so it's with Christ. For we are baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, we are all one given for one Spirit to drink. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. The people of God, thanks be to God.
This year on this Mission Sunday, we decided to focus on what we're doing here, bringing you an update about our outreach program and the new activity and location of St. Harder. So, Jane and Terry.
Thanks, Chuck, and good morning, everybody. I'd like to share a little bit about the Safe Harbor program and also about Central United Methodist Church's role in that program. And I'd really like to start out by, I'm going to read for a minute here, the Safe Harbor mission statement because I think it says a lot. Safe Harbor is a faith-based ministry offering love and service to those experiencing homelessness in the Grand Traverse region through emergency shelter, meals, and encouragement to move forward towards permanent housing, because that is the ultimate goal. We do this through our church network, More than 23 churches are now participating in the program. We offer shelter, providing evening and morning meals, organizing volunteers who make themselves available to talk to, socialize with, and serve our guests, and working to improve our organization and base of support. And speaking of support, and I was going to say this till later, but you can go on the website, just Safe Harbor, Traverse City. There is a capital funding campaign on right now. They've raised over $1 million for the new facility, and we still got a ways to go yet. As Carla also mentioned to me, you can give through the envelope in this morning's bulletin also. But I'd like to indicate a little bit about where we're at right now. Again, the program was designed to provide temporary shelter, not long-term shelter, to those in need during our coldest winter months. And initially, it was started in 2003 by the Nazarene Church. And I think Central United Methodist Church joined a year later. And like I said, each year, more and more churches came into the program, whereas now we have 23 churches involved. 2,000 volunteers. I can give you all kinds of statistics. 10,000 meals served last year and 4,700 bed nights. But I think the main thing is that we served, we had a total of 160 guests last year in the program, but the average per night was only 45 to 50. So as you can see, many of the people weren't here from November through April. They were here for a relatively short period of time, just so they, most of them, until they get back on their own feet again. So currently, we have guests of all ages. We can't accept children anywhere from 18 on up, male and female. We usually have three times as many males as females per night. And Central has really been a central part of this whole program, and I hope and pray that they'll continue to do so, because we're going to need as many volunteers in the future as we have in the past, even though we are going to move to a new facility. And it's that new facility I kind of want to talk to you just a couple minutes about. It is located at 517 Wellington Street, and for those of you who are not sure where that's at, it's if you know where the Family Video is on 8th Street, it's just across the street and down a block from that place, kind of between the Family Video on 8th Street and the library. It's a big facility that Safe Harbor bought from the city and renovated. And they, believe me, it took a lot of renovation. I mean, there was mold, a leaky roof, everything else, and it's really coming along. I mean, if I encourage you to drive by there sometime if you get a chance, because it's just fantastic. They're starting to put up the partitions now, and the new facility will offer us a lot more space. It's going to be more comfortable for the guests and also for those of us that are volunteers, and I hope many of you will volunteer to be there too. And we'll have separate rooms for adequate showers. Right now, some of the churches that are in the program didn't have showers. They weren't big enough. There'll be a brand new modern kitchen, state-of-the-art kitchen. There'll be activity rooms. There'll be a separate room for the medicine, so we won't have to crawl everybody in the kitchen to get to the medicine box to get somebody an aspirin. It's going to be terrific, I think. And there are also, though, for those of you that have spent the night at Central before on the overnight crew, you'll have a place to, a comfortable place to sleep, as opposed to bringing your own maybe sleeping bag and lying on the floor. There will be a separate area for volunteers to sleep overnight. In addition, on the front of the building, there will be a housing and resource center where our guests can go, and this will be open year-round, where the guests can go and get information on job opportunities or job training opportunities, as well as mentoring programs. So it'll be a round-the-year type of activity going on in the program. But there will be, as I said before, a continuing need for volunteers. We need as many volunteers as before. And each year there's some attrition, and each year I hear from people that they're apprehensive before they volunteer, but once they do, they feel good about it. They feel good about themselves. And I can tell you, numerous guests come up to me afterwards and say how much they appreciate the services that you people provide. As I told Chris Lane last year during Safe Harbor, we were watching the people come in one night, and I just felt really good about the ecumenical part of the whole program. I mean, we're working with the Catholics and the Presbyterians and the Baptists, and we're all working towards a common goal right here in Traverse City to help people that just need a helping hand, helping get back on their feet. And it's not a long-term solution, but it saves a lot of people. I mean, this whole program was born out of a tragedy where a homeless person fell into the creek and froze to death one night back around, I guess it was 2000 or 2001. And that's why the Nazarene Church started the program in the first place. And I think it really grown from there. And I'm often mentioned too. I'm not a preacher or anything like that, but I can't help but reflect on Matthew 25, where on Judgment Day Jesus said, "God will talk to the righteous and say, you know, when I was thirsty, you gave me drink, and when I was hungry, you gave me food, when I was didn't have any place to go, you offered me shelter, and when I was sick, you visited me." And the people said, "Well, we don't remember, Lord, when you were sick or when you were hungry or when you were food. We don't remember feeding you." Jesus said, the Lord will then say, "I assure you, when you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it for me." And I think that sums it all up. You will feel good, I think, after you participate in the program. I thank everybody that has participated in the past, and I definitely encourage next November or December when we do our sign-up that please participate, because it's a great mission within our own community. It's a great help to people, and you will feel good about it. Thanks a lot.
I'm Jane Lippert. I'm your Community Outreach Director. 2 weeks ago at our outreach breakfast, woman I'll call Kay came in. She'd just been released from the hospital. She was very upset, and she came over to get her mail, and we had a little time to talk. She said that she and a homeless guest, M, had been jumped the night before. And that M, of course, had pushed her out of the way and gotten the worst of it, and he was to have surgery that day to wire his jaw back together and shut because he had been so badly beaten. It's hard news, but it happens more than once a year. Our guests live in threat, especially in the warmer months, of being beaten just because they don't have a house. It's become some kind of rite of passage for groups of young adults and some teens to show, I don't know what, by beating up homeless people. The good news in the middle of that is because of you, because we have the outreach program, I was able to listen to Kay's story and then work with some other community outreach workers to figure out who it was that was in the hospital. And then go up to visit him and pray with him on your behalf and make sure he was going to have the type of food he needed, because he would not be able to eat normal food. Because of you, he knew he had a place that he could return to and remember that he was a beloved child of God and not a punching bag, because of you. Last summer, on the front page of the paper, was a man named David, whose story was quite similar. It would be hard to have missed that story. Let me give you the update on David, because it's a great update. He's in Dan's house. And at first, he was a little bit reluctant to go in there. He said, "I feel bad because my friends are still out in the street." And I said, "It's not going to help your friends if you're out on the street too." We needed to get you safe. And once he got in there, it was the first time he had a full night's sleep since he'd been beaten, because he couldn't sleep for fear of being beaten again. You provide respect and nurture and food for folks who have to deal with those types of scares in their lives. The Safe Harbor building is going to be such a great asset to the community, but they will still run like the regular Safe Harbor hours. Folks will come in and get dinner, be there all night, and then they'll be out in the morning, and we will still be the gig in town that provides hot breakfast and 2 hours out of the rain or out of the snow, or just to sit and talk to people who accept you just as you are. We still get to do that. And also, there are people who, for whom Safe Harbor isn't an option because they're not homeless, but they're food insecure. They can't afford to pay all their bills and get decent groceries, and so they save money by coming in and getting meals and community meals so that they can pay their heat bill in the wintertime and their light bill. And something that's been growing since before I started in this position is we're making a difference in the community and how empathy grows. I call it justice evangelism. We have different groups of students come in, and I talk with them a little bit, but the real education is when they serve. They prepare food, and they serve and have conversations with the guests at our outreach program. So Greenspire School comes every month. Children's House Montessori comes on occasion. The Sunrise High School Academy culinary class has come and prepared lunch. And the Life Skills Center for Teen and Young Adults with Disabilities comes during the school year most Thursdays and cleans up for us. And then I'm very impressed, college students on break asked to come and help out too. This is how we change the culture of the community and with the youth. Slowly but surely, from a teen ritual of attacking homeless folks to creating some empathy amongst them and them sharing that empathy with their peers for people who've had one too many crises in their life and one too many bad choices. Isaiah, the prophet in the Old Testament, talks about what type of fast, what type of sacrifice does God request from us? Is it the traditional do without food for a week so that you can focus more on God? But in there it says, no, this is the fast that God chooses for us, to share our bread, to house the homeless, to clothe the naked. I am so proud to be your agent, your boots on the ground, as you, Central United Methodist Church, love all of your neighbors. Praise be to God.